when you think about young guns, there's a lot of guys out there fishing the Elite Series, but with me today is James Niggemeier. And James, I guess the first thing is that, you know, you've been out here now you're not a rookie anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of good to get that first season out of the way, and this year was a series of ups and downs, and I'm happy to have that rookie season out of the way.
Well, you know, you were out from the West and moved to the East a little bit, and I mean, the transition for that. You know, when you and I talked last night, and we talked a little bit about this before we did this interview, and you were saying, you know, I may be the only guy from out West that really didn't throw a swim bait, but in reality, that maybe isn't one of those things that you need to do all the time, and, you know, I know you have other expertise in a lot of different areas, but, I mean, tell me about that. Was that something that after you left that it started up real big, or was it just something you never got involved with?
It's something I never really got involved with. I threw it a little bit, but it was one of those things that guys were doing it for trophy fishing, and I always kind of wanted to focus my whole fishing arsenal around catching a limit, catching keeper bass, because I always wanted to tournament fish for a living, and that was the key. And so I always looked at swim baits as, you know, trophy bass technique, and I just didn't think that was going to be what I wanted to do. But it's come far from that, and it's something I definitely need to brush up on.
Let's talk about you as a young man. I mean, you know, you look at you, you're a very young man now, and you think about, okay, I want to be a professional fisherman. When did you start thinking about that?
You know, I guess the biggest part where I really put my biggest effort was when I moved to Texas in 2001. And, you know, up before that, I guess it was probably around 26 or 25 when I really started thinking, you know, I'm going to start to make an effort for it. Because, you know, a lot of times before that, it's just a dream. And so you kind of say, yeah, I'd like to do that. But then you realize, you know, if I'm going to ever do this, I really need to do something about it. And that's probably when I really started to try to make some things happen.
Well, tell me about what you did. I mean, what were some of the first things? I know you fished buddy tournaments. You did a lot of those kind of things. Then you went out on your own, started fishing tournaments. But what was your? How did you plan that?
Well, you know, I fished the Opens when they first came out to the West, the Bassmaster Invitationals then, and then they became the Opens. And I did that and had, you know, just some mediocre success and really was just struggling because I was working all the time, and then I just take enough time off to go and fish the tournament and come back. And that was hard. I just wasn't spending a lot of time on the water. And Dean Rojas, he said, hey, you know, you need to move to East Texas and guide, and you can get some time on the water. I can put you in with a lot of the Kelly Jordan and Lance Vick and Mark Pack and John Tanner, and you can learn from these guys, and you can get to spend the time on the water. And that was when things really started to put some footsteps into motion.
Well, you're fishing against the best in the world now, and tell me a little bit about, you know, that first tournament when you went out there. Was it kind of awesome to see all those guys that you read about and some of those kind of things, and then you're fishing against them?
Oh, yeah. You know, I remember back when I lived out west, where they had one of the Opens or Invitationals was on Lake Powell, and Rick Klun was there, and I mean, and he was on this bank that I wanted to fish down, and I just started fishing towards him, and it was just weird to see Rick Klun on a bank in on Lake Powell. And now when I came out to back east and started to move to Texas, was seeing him in all the open, seeing all the heroes of the sport, to see them after reading about him for so long, that was something that I still dealt with after the first tournament this year. And even at the Classic, it's kind of hard not to just to realize that you're going to be fishing against these guys on a daily basis. That was something to get over.
Well, James, you know, you've stepped up the ladder well. Of course, Basscat's one of your sponsors, but you recently, I think you're the newest addition to the Strike King staff. You know, tell me about what that means to you, and, you know, from a just strictly from a product standpoint, what does that mean?
Well, that's just huge. I've always liked all the Strike King products and always, you know, looked up to the elite of elite guys, you know, the legends of the sport. And I've always looked up to all of them, and to see myself here with them in that setting is kind of, it's surreal, really, is what it is. And as far as products, I love to see what goes into making products and being able to give a little input on things for the new products for the upcoming year. And it's just neat to be in a setting with a Strike King team.
Well, you get to now also help with development. I mean, it's not just sitting here collecting a check. You got to work for this stuff.
Yeah, and I love to do that. I do a little lure tinkering at home, casting jig molds and spinner baits, and that was one thing I always loved to do, even when I lived out west. And to come here and try to give some input as to what some of the things were that worked for me is neat, and I'd love to see what will be an asset.
Let's talk a little bit about the tour now, okay? You've been in a little while now, and you got your feet wet and had good experiences. You finished some top 12 a few times, but you know, what are the aspirations? I mean, Angler of the Year, is that something? Classic win? What are the things that, if you could say tomorrow, hey, I want to pick one thing, what would it be?
You know, just a consistency of making the Classic. You know, after making that first Classic, I want to do everything I can to make it back to the Classic. The Classic is huge, and anyone will tell you that fishes the elites, it's on everyone's mind. Make it back to that Classic. It's It's never a given. I don't think to anyone that feels that. It's when you can. John Murray said this year, when you qualify for the Classic, no matter what place you're in, you've had a good year, and I agree with that. And so that's objective number one for me. And really, I'd like to just get a few years under my belt and just grow as an angler, and then set some other goals in my sights.
All right, let's talk about techniques. You know, everybody's got something they kind of go gravitate to. Whatever, are you a power fisherman? Are you a finesse guy? What are some of the favorite things you like to do?
I'm a power fisherman, dedicated, hardcore, dye in the wool power fisherman. I love to flip and pitch. If I can flip and pitch, I can do that all day long, and I can just stay in tune and focused on it. It's something I just, all my confidence is there. It's with jigs or soft plastic. That's my deal.
Well, you know, you look at a lot of guys, you know, kind of went away from that. You know, they got the sissy rods, I call them. You know, they got the little spinning rods out there, and they're throwing shaky heads and all this kind of stuff. In the power fishing, you know, for the longest time, I said, hey, you know, that's power fishing, man. That's a cool deal, you know. But now guys are having to be able to be more adaptable. They're going to have to be able to look at the type of technique you're using, at the body of water you're on. But you guys have been fortunate with the way that bass schedule is. You usually get to some places where you can catch that big string also power fishing.
That's right. You know, when I left the West, guys had just started putting down the lead head jigs and picked up the drop shot. And so when I got here and then the shaky head craze caught on, I was like, you mean, I'm going to fight this. I don't want to do this. I left that in the West. I don't want to pick that back up. But yeah, to answer your question, it's nice to see that we've got a mix of lakes where you can finesse and you can power fish. I tend to want to, you know, gravitate to that big rod, but it's important to be well-rounded for sure.
Well, there's some guys like by the name of Denny Brower, Tommy Biffle, some of those guys. They've made a career out of that power fishing. Kevin Van Dam, you know, you look at some of those guys, there's nothing wrong with being a power fisherman.
No, I just love just the full contact, the up close. I feel like when I pick up that rod, I'm getting ready to do something as opposed to picking up a spinning rod, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I got to do it, and I'll do it again, but I feel more confident with it.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Tim Allen, he would never think that, you know, a tool time guy, he's not going to go, oh, you know, like that when he talks about finesse fishing. He's going to do that with power fishing, no question.
Well, you know, what's funny is the biggest bass I've ever caught came on finesse rod, came on a drop shot. So it was 11.5-pounder, and so to say that you don't catch big ones on the finesse is you'd be wrong to say that. So it's important to have that finesse rod.
Well, you got guys like Aaron Martins who make a career out of it. I mean, he's throwing 6-pound tests. You know, you remember the Pittsburgh Classic in 05 that Kevin won with like 14.5 pounds or something like that. He's out there throwing 6-pound tests on bridge pilings and stuff. He lost a few fish, but he's getting a lot more bites than everybody else.
And he came in second place in that tournament. I mean, I know everyone wants to finish first, but second's, you know, the next best thing. And, you know, we went to the Delta this year on the Elites, and he won that event. Well, a lot of it came on a drop shot rod. So it's something that I think, you know, everyone's doing it now. So it's no secret anymore.
Well, one final question. I guess the guys from the West are making a name for themselves in a big way. I mean, they've been great fishermen. I think part of the issue with the West has been that it's such a travel distance for everybody to have a circuit out there, so it's been kind of hard to get that dialed in, but the fishermen are phenomenal from the West.
You know, and I've seen that same thing. It seems like because there's such a difference, such a variance in waters from the Delta to Lake Mead and the Clarity, you see that same thing kind of come out of Arkansas. A lot of the guys in Arkansas are really well-versed and all the techniques, and there's a ton of excellent fishermen out west, and I think a lot of them are just really making the jump now and coming out here and making names for themselves. There's some incredible talent on the trail.
Well, James, I think you're one of them, and you're a breath of fresh air to all of us that know you, and I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you for having me on Bass Fan Radio.
This is Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.